Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 126 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I am your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to recap some nerd news. This is a big news week for tech, as we'll quickly talk about some video game updates and then move into the stories regarding WhatsApp and Signal, Facebook messaging, privacy, an update on the executive order for Section 230, and then the Parler social media app getting destroyed by big tech. Then we'll move from there into a little bit of space news and some robots. There's a lot to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
All right, and welcome to episode 126. And this was a doozy in real world news for this last week, and a lot of it overlaps with tech. So we've got a lot to get to. You know, disclaimer up front, we might be a little more politically focused than normal as we try to keep politics out of it. But when politics collides so intensely with our nerd world, you got to talk about it.
Yeah, shit went down and shit's going crazy. it's really kind of hard for us to ignore when we've been talking about these things now since basically our first interview with Doctorow in like episode 4. like we've been talking about these things for a while. They're really starting to come to the public's attention now. You know, we've been banging the drum for a little bit. Now that the sky has fallen, I think we might have a little bit more of people's attention.
Yeah, well, let's go with, I guess, some of the lighter hearted news, the entertainment side, and really not much in this form of movies and things. We've got award season coming. I don't even know what that looks like right now, but you know, that's we're moving into that time frame. But really, the only notable things that came out this week was a little bit of video game talk and Epic Studios for you know, most notably Fortnite owners there. They bought up a mall in North Carolina.
I kind of like this. I like this idea of instead of multi-level office spaces, like we have all these malls that are going vacant and empty due to the giants like Amazon and Walmart. They probably got it cheap and they're going to be able to create this kind of like cool, you know, headquarters. If I had a choice to work at a mall office space or a you know, regular, you know, 30-story building office space, I'd probably choose the mall.
Yeah, I think this is a really cool idea. Again, it's probably cheap real estate. And I don't know how much they're going to use the mall structure. Maybe they level this thing and end up still building some.
I'd be disappointed. I would too.
Like, I would just much rather see, like, you know, the CEO taking up the office in the center of the mall at the old Hot Topic than anything else.
Well, so, I envision this office space with like a nice cool fountain in the middle, a dope ass eatery, you know, like you could ride electric scooters from division to division. Like there's a lot of cool shit that I imagine can be done if you just kept the structure, kept the bones, and just reconfigured, you know, office spaces out of these units and things. Like,
I don't know how many employees they have, but you know, keep the eatery going.
That's what I said. Yeah,
you got
a bomb ass food court. Like, if I had a Sbarro at work, oh my god. Like, I don't even, it's not even that good a pizza, but
it
just
pick the trash ass pizza.
But when you go to the mall, I gotta get a slice of Sbarro. I have, like, it's sacrilegious to not go to the mall and eat a piece of Sbarro pizza. Like, it's, I can't do it, bro.
No thanks on the Sbarro, but I'll hit the Wetzel pretzel or Auntie Annie's pretzels, depending on what that mall carries.
Yeah, I just think this is kind of cool. You know, who knows? They might, you know, hopefully they create like a big user division so you can do visits to the Epic headquarters, do some gaming in a big old Kohl's section or some shit, like have a VR section. Like, there's just so much cool things you could do with that much real estate that I hope they double down on the really cool shit.
Yeah. Well, if you're ever in Cary, North Carolina, go for it. Go visit the new Epic headquarters there at the mall in Cary.
If life ever directs me to that location, I promise you, I will not leave until I go to that fucking location.
All right. And then, you know, the only other real thing that's notable was Star Wars games are now branding themselves under Lucasfilm Games as, you know, whatever future Star Wars titles coming out in video game form will get released under the banner of Lucasfilm Games. Lucasfilm Games existed back in the 80s. Like there used to be a division of games called Lucasfilm Games, and it got rolled up into LucasArts in 1990, and they're bringing it back. For what reason? I don't know. But they're bringing it back.
Yeah, they just feel they need to rebrand, or I didn't really get the reasoning behind it. They're trying to, a lot of studios are coming under like one bubble with the PlayStation and Xbox buying up a lot of these studios, putting them under one brand. This seems to kind of go in line with that. The Lucas name is like hit or miss to so many people, though. It's either you love it or hate it. So just to keep rebranding it with the Lucas name, I don't know if it changes much for anybody.
Yeah, I don't know either. Does the fact that it says Lucas instead of Star Wars, does that somehow give you greater faith in the game? I don't know. I'm not a branding expert. I'm sure they, you know, put it in some focus groups and they came out the other side with, yeah, right now, Star Wars, some people really don't like Star Wars, but if you say Lucas is running this, then they're a little more bought into it.
They should just name that motherfucker Favreau Games and ride off.
At this point, that's who everybody just has faith in.
Give that dude a bag of money and be like, hey, bro, we're gonna tie your name to everything Star Wars from here on out and kind of make a bunch of money. Here's a bag.
But Lucasfilm Games now has, you know, they have their own Twitter account and everything else to communicate directly to consumers. But they didn't announce in this press release like any actual games coming out. The Squadrons came out a couple months ago, and that's pretty much it. We know Fallen Order is going to have sequels. It's going to be the start of like an actual Star Wars franchise of games that'll all roll up under Lucasfilm. But other than that, nothing really notable in the works.
Yeah, we'll see where they come out. Everyone's just hoping they port some of these old ones, Old Republic, and can we get an HD remake of some of the favorites? I think that's what everybody's really just holding their breath for.
Yeah, well, that's going to lead us into, let's start talking about some of the more important stuff from the week.
Yeah, here we go. All right.
and the hardest hitting news of the week is Jeff Bezos is now the richest man in the world.
Wrong. Wrong?
Wait, did it change again today?
You misspoke. You said Jeff Bezos.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, I did. Elon Musk has passed Jeff Bezos as the richest man. And Jeff Bezos right this moment may be the richest man. Who knows?
Tesla stock hit a 7% dip yesterday. So this might have changed by the time this probably, airs.
My little slip of the tongue there is probably accurate for today. It might not be accurate for tomorrow. In the end, the two of them are going to leapfrog each other for the next couple months until one of them settles with a strong enough lead again. And, the big just run that Tesla keeps going on as far as their stock price has set Elon as the richest man, which is wild at how fast that has happened under companies that really never demonstrated like significant profitability. Like it's all off of like future potential for the most part.
Tesla and Bitcoin got everybody feeling the fucking FOMO right now.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
And people are wishing they were smarter with their money a couple months ago. right about now. We're just Team Musk over here. We're anti Bezos, so this is just a story that really, really hits us here in the cantina. Good for Elon. Keep shooting rockets in space. Keep making cars that are going to save the planet, while Jeff Bezos kills every small business in the country. I'm all about this. Team Musk.
Yeah. Well, now we'll start talking about the actual real important news of the week. And, that still comes from Elon Musk in the sense that he's tied to this. So we get earlier in the week some press releases and information coming out from the WhatsApp camp about an update that was sent. And in that privacy update that was sent to all its current users, it talked about the fact that you essentially had to accept new terms of service. And those terms included sharing data with Facebook, WhatsApp has always been owned by Facebook. I don't know who ever thought that WhatsApp was going to stay completely separate from Facebook forever. What was in it for Facebook in buying this company for such a large amount? But in the end, now WhatsApp is sharing some contact information, your phone number, your location data. They're sharing that back with Facebook, which is a new change to their terms of service.
Yeah. Like you said, this was bound to come down the tube. Like, Facebook didn't spend that kind of money buying up a WhatsApp to not collect data, to not end the encryption. And it's when these big tech companies gobble up these smaller companies that have become popular, they tend to ignore what made them popular for the sake of profits. They just want the name because they realize that once they have the brand, most likely majority of users aren't going to pay attention to those terms of service. That's why we talk about these things on the show. Hopefully you're listening to the show and we bring that info to you. But yeah, there's really going to be no difference between Facebook Messenger and WhatsApp by the time, you know, this all ends.
So, I mean, what I will say is that WhatsApp still remains fairly private in the messaging side. What they are sharing is again, location data. If you have location services turned on in your WhatsApp, and then like your actual like profile data is going to be shared with Facebook. The messaging itself, it still is an end-to-end encrypted messaging service. Facebook doesn't see the messages going in and going out. That is still pretty well confirmed that the end-to-end encryption still remains. The privacy of the content of your messages to who you're sending it to and what you're receiving is still outside of the peering eyes of Facebook.
For now.
It comes down to... For now. But it does come down to a point. Do you really trust Facebook with all this information? Another kind of fairly terrifying article that came out was... So Apple came out with a new privacy feature, and I don't know if you have it. You've got the iPhone. There's a way now to get in a single graphic, whatever app you have on your phone, whatever services you're using. Apple has now made this privacy feature where you can see a snapshot, and it'll tell you what data is collected by that company and what data is shared by that company.
Oh shit!
In a pretty simple graphic. So in that graphic, Facebook immediately started taking out like full page ads in the New York Times and stuff like that, just criticizing Apple and this choice. And realistically, like, this wasn't an attack against Facebook. It's just like, if you're the dude who all of a sudden, like, there's transparency in this process and you're the guy being offended, all right, you're probably pretty fucked up in this regard. And they are. When you look at this graphic and you compare Facebook Messenger and the data that they link to you personally, as in your personal profile that they share with advertisers and everything else, it is astonishing. And, you know, I'll share this image probably in the Facebook page, which is hilarious, right? we're Facebook, and I'm going to share this at our group Facebook page because it's where we communicate most as the Cantina. But in the end, the like Signal messaging service is blank. They don't share anything with anybody. iMessage shares a couple things on there. WhatsApp shares a fair bit more than iMessage. And then Facebook Messenger, you have to scroll through because it's so much information that Facebook Messenger links directly to you out of your messages, your location data, your keywords that you type. Everything is shared in there and linked to your personal profile that they use to sell to advertisers.
Well, and, you know, so I don't know, does Apple disclose what they share with their affiliates on this too?
Like in this graphic from, like I said, I don't have the iPhone, so I can't go and look at these things personally. But in this graphic that BGR has put out, they have the iMessage one, and it's four total items that they have data linked to you compared to what is about 40.
Well, that's for iMessage, but I mean like all their other, you know, just background data scraping, you know, listening to what you're talking about to send you target ads,
I don't see anything.
Not all of that is just through iMessage, you know.
Yeah, it says that Apple does disclose privacy label information for even its own apps, so that they didn't do this just rolled out for everybody else. So I imagine there probably is a way to check it out. This article specifically that we were looking at, just because we were talking about WhatsApp and Signal and Facebook Message today.
I commend Apple for being more transparent, and as long as they're being transparent with their own data theft, I'm okay with it. You know what I mean? Like, I would hate for them to just be like, look at all these dudes stealing your data, and then be, you know, in the dark shadows in your iPhone still scraping all the data and not showing you what they take. But we kind of need this transparency. I'm actually surprised that it came without any kind of like government regulation, that Apple just put it out there. But now that it's out there and they show that it's not only possible but needed, I hope some kind of government, you know, law comes from this that says that no, every phone needs to have this feature, or every app needs to disclose the amount of data that they're sharing. Like, this is, you know, this touches on so many of the subjects that we've been talking about over the last couple of years, that yes, we need this kind of transparency. People need to make educated decisions about what they want to share with the world.
Yeah. And, you know, so it really just, you know, again, I'm mixing up things, and I don't want to confuse the two. You know, we're talking about WhatsApp having its services changed. WhatsApp is not turning into Facebook Messenger, but we're just highlighting the fact that, you know, based off of like the information that Facebook Messenger is using. Well, if you're using Facebook Messenger, especially if you're a privacy concerned individual, just don't use Facebook Messenger ever.
Delete it off your phone.
Everything is being looked. There is no encryption there. There is no end-to-end encryption. Facebook clearly and pretty openly scans those messages, uses those messages to link and to build a better profile for you as an individual that they can sell to other people. So Facebook Messenger is the worst that messaging app you can use. WhatsApp, the concern is now that WhatsApp is more transparently tying itself to sharing data with Facebook. I don't know. I guess have hope that they keep the end-to-end encryption and all the sharing is your profile data.
My fear is that a story like this is going to come out. People are going to abandon Facebook Messenger for a WhatsApp, and they're just going to turn the dial down on Facebook Messenger to appease people, and then just turn the dial up on WhatsApp, because as long as you're using one of the two, we got everything we need, and we don't give a shit. Like, that's my concern.
Yeah, it's very well possible, you know, which ties us back to where we talk about how this links to Elon Musk. And Elon Musk really drew a lot of attention towards this WhatsApp terms of service change, because early in the week, once this came out, he just started tweeting away about telling everybody to use Signal.
Did you see that there's some stock Signal that isn't tied with the messaging app that
absolutely
that went skyrocketing through the roof because Elon was tweeting to everybody to use Signal.
Yep. And this shows how, yeah, investors are not as smart as you think.
No. No. Whoever you're giving your money to manage it is not as smart as he makes himself sound, I promise you.
And yeah, so he recommended using Signal. And if, for anybody who doesn't know what Signal is, it's similar to WhatsApp in the sense that it's a messaging service that is purely tied to privacy. That's what WhatsApp used to be. Signal is still a messaging service that is committed to privacy. The difference between Signal and everybody else, the reason why Elon Musk supports it, is Signal is owned by a nonprofit company. Signal has repeatedly turned down money from venture capitalist firms, from other things trying to make it a more profitable business. And Signal has turned down any attempt to turn it into a profitable thing. It's a nonprofit company focused on privacy. I have Signal on my phone. You can use Signal as your default like messaging service for text messages and everything else. And then if you're sending to somebody who also has Signal, you can change it to a end-to-end encrypted message. So you can manage everything through Signal. And it is recommended by Elon, by a lot of, you know, by the EFF, by other companies and kind of activists that are focused on
by every street pharmacist privacy there is on the out there.
Yeah. So yeah, and again, it's a nonprofit company. It's definitely not publicly traded in the stock market exchange. So yeah, if you're somebody who went and bought some Signal stock thinking, well, as long as you got
sell that shit before this airs.
And so, yeah, I also agree with Elon's sentiment here. Again, if you're a privacy focused person, for the vast majority of people, like if you have a Facebook account and you're a WhatsApp user, should you stop using WhatsApp right now because they changed their term of service? No, that would be idiotic. Facebook already has everything on you. There's nothing unique to what they have in WhatsApp that they don't already have through you being a Facebook user. This was really targeted at gathering more data on those other individuals, as well as maybe some additional profile that they could build into you. But in the end, if you're somebody who stays off of social media, you're the one who truly does try to keep yourself as private and separate. You know, you're using the DuckDuckGo search engines. You're using the Tor browser. You're everything you do is privacy focused. Yeah, get off WhatsApp and join Signal.
But honestly, if you're that dude, we're just repeating things that you've probably been screaming for. Like, that dude's already been on Signal. He's been yelling this shit to his friends, you know, with his tinfoil hat on for months. We are just confirming your beliefs, sir. Like, what, if you are that dude that is using a Tor browser, we are just here to confirm everything you believe.
Yeah. So in the end, like I said, I still respect Elon. He's always been picking fights with Facebook. Like, this is nothing new to him. He has been criticizing Facebook for a very long time.
Richest man in the world, bitch. Come fight me, Zuck.
He definitely drew a lot of attention to it just because, yeah, he's the richest man in the world. He has a huge following. And the very fact that he's talking about using Signal, it makes people dive into it. It makes us have to explain what the difference is and why it's important. And again, I do believe, hey, use Signal. If you're worried about privacy, if you're worried about, you know, data mining and you want to have greater control over what gets sent to advertisers, why use Facebook Messenger or something else? When Signal is, it's actually got a pretty good user interface, and it's not tied to any big tech company.
All right, we're gonna get in the weeds now.
Yeah, I think we got through this Messenger thing, and now I guess we can move into another concerning topic for big tech. First, I guess I'll lead into it. With just a quick update to the Section 230 kind of restructuring that has been something that President Trump has been trying to do for months. And it is essentially dead at this point in time in his presidency. At the time of recording this, he's got 8 days left in his presidency. He tried to do the executive order back in October to force a restructuring of Section 230, the privacy laws and kind of protections of internet companies. Ajit Pai, the head of the FCC, said there's no way to get this done. There's no way to get this done appropriately during President Trump's term. So he has effectively killed it and said FCC is no longer moving forward with it.
I'm hoping somebody makes that like Ajit Pai Drake gif or like meme where he's like looking away with his hand up to Section 230 and Trump. Like, they're all abandoning this man, and Ajit is just, you know, no, not gonna be that guy. I'm not gonna go have my last moments in office be doing the dirty work of the current administration. So he's bowing out, you know. He's been kind of a spineless puppet for 4 years or maybe even longer. He showed a little bit of a backbone here, and he's backing down. So good for you.
Yeah, and he
steps
down.
Take your Reese mug and get the fuck out now.
He steps down from the position on the day of the inauguration. So that means that, you know, the Biden administration will put in somebody new in the FCC that'll also give them a majority at the FCC. As far as the voting members of the FCC will be democratically appointed. So we'll see if this Section 230 conversation happens. Again, I have no like significant love for Section 230. I do not think that it needs to just get blown up and destroyed.
No, it needs to get restructured. It doesn't need, we need some of the things in Section 230 in place while we restructure it, because if not, there will just be mass chaos that ensues, yeah. And it'll be way harder to clean up that mess than if we just pass a new bill that negates Section 230, but also, you know, restructures it at the same time. We can't just blow it up.
Yeah, which is why it's going to take time to do. It may never happen, just because how ineffective the government is, and anything that takes a significant period of time, that'll have, you know, when we're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars of, kind of investor money will change as far as once you change Section 230 and you change the liabilities on certain companies, there's going to be significant changes in valuation, significant changes in business models.
Well, and let's be real. Our next president has notoriously talked about sitting in front of the record player and listening to your radio shows. So I don't see them making Section 230 a high priority in what they're trying to do with this administration.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. You got a president that's still, you know, excited.
Talk about gramophones and shit. Like, bro, we're trying to talk about internet privacy over here. I don't have faith that anything is going to come off with it. But who knows? Maybe yeah. Our guy Yang will get in there and straighten this all out for us.
But, you know, Section 230, it protects the company's ability to moderate their platforms essentially how they see fit without any threat of liability for how they moderate it. So who they allow to stay on their platforms, they can't be held liable for. And who they remove from their platforms, they also can't be held liable for. And that's one of the issues that, like, obviously on the conservative side, President Trump side, the president's Twitter account is dead today. And so obviously this is things that he is concerned about, is just getting...
Well, but I just don't understand how they feel gutting Section 230 will alleviate that, because they want to remove their protections to just remove people. Okay, I understand that. There should be transparency and guidelines as to how somebody gets removed, why they get removed. That needs to be fixed. But if you take away Section 230 and take away their liability from getting sued for what gets posted on their platform, do you honestly believe that moderation is going to slow down because of that? Like, when they are open up to lawsuits and everything? No, they're just going to start ban hammering everybody that might, you know, leave themselves open to any kind of legality whatsoever. So the fact that they want to gut this to slow down moderation, I just don't see how that makes any sense whatsoever.
Yeah, so it could go either way, right? It could go towards the side of saying that they have to essentially moderate everything, and they have to report anything that looks like criminal activity. They have to eliminate any questionable content, and they are liable for what people say. Or it goes the other way, and it says you can remain not liable, but that means you're not allowed to moderate at all, and you must allow free speech to exist, and whatever exists, you can't ban hammer anybody. And you have to allow 100% unmoderated content.
Yeah, right now they float in this like gray area of it, and that's where we decide, you know, think that Section 230 needs to be kind of restructured, because right now there is this big gray area that tech lives in, gives them a lot of control and power over public discourse, and they should not kind of have that ability, as we're going to see in the next few stories we talk about, because shit really kind of hit the tech fan this week.
Yeah, part of that shit hitting the fan was the presidential account getting banned following the Capitol Hill riots that took place. And this is what, like, Trump doesn't become president without Twitter, right? Like, that's a big part of really, like, nobody becomes president.
Nobody becomes
nationally popular without access to all these platforms. And if all these platforms remain left-leaning, strongly left-leaning, they could effectively, right, without any like real legal recourse, marginalize any emerging conservative voice that they don't like. It's possible. That's the big concern on the right, right? It's
a very valid concern. It's a very valid concern.
But it's absolutely possible. And this is, you know, the banning of the president's account is exactly why the president had spent the last probably year and a half trying to fight to end Section 230 to kill the ability for tech companies to even do just that.
Well,
because he knew he wasn't going to be president forever, and then he was going to get shut down.
Well, so a lot of this falls into a lot of what we've been talking about too with the antitrust laws and monopolization. That the one of the dangerous things about tech is that if a Dorsey or a Zuckerberg doesn't like what you're putting out there, that they can just ban you for no reason, and you have no other outlets to reach an audience as wide as those. And they specifically do that on purpose. They buy up anybody that is emerging, that is going to be any kind of competition to them, and they squash that, and they remain the only source to voice your opinions and get your, you know, whatever you're trying to put out there to a mass market. Recently, we've had an app that was more conservative leaning that came up trying to compete with a Twitter called Parler. If you don't know, Parler just released a few months ago. It's been very popular with the conservatives as the conservative Twitter. It is, yeah, that,
especially since the election, it grew in popularity on the right since the election took place.
So there was a competitive arm to Twitter for conservatives to go and express their views and their voices without fear of Dorsey or any of his employees coming in trying to minimize their voice, which it's the free market. It's a free country. You should have that option. You should have other options. Twitter can do whatever they want with their platform. But if other emerging platforms come up and allow the things that Twitter won't allow, that's the free market. That's the country we live in. But we're finding now that big tech kind of sticks together. And the main people in these positions are all kind of have the same views, have the same motivations, have the same political ideologies. And they basically said, if you were going to go to this other conservative Twitter to voice your, you know, opinions, we're just going to squash that Twitter. And we have now, Apple took Parler off the store. You can't download the app. Google took it off.
It started with Google Play Store, and then 24 hours later, Apple removed it. Both Apple and Google have stated that it was because, like specifically, Apple's statement was that we have always supported diverse points of view being represented on the App Store, but there was no place on our platform for threats of violence and illegal activity. Parler has not taken adequate measures to address the proliferation of these threats to people's safety. So they're following the Capitol Hill riots, and they're saying that this was incited and planned for and everything else through Parler, and the threats that continue to exist on Parler without any moderation. And Parler branded themselves as the free speech platform. You want to go in there on a transphobic rage and talk about killing anybody or whatever else? They didn't care. Like they just said, whatever you say is what you say here. You know, this is a free speech place. We're not going to moderate at all. Google and Apple said,
fuck your free speech place.
you can't do that. You can't be here and on free speech. You can't allow people to threaten others or whatever else. And if you do, you just don't have access to our customers anymore.
And just to be clear, this is what's really scary. So I am not advocating for a place for hate speech to just run rampant. Like I get that these things can be dangerous, that I am not advocating anything that happened, you know, or absolving anybody that did anything at the Capitol Hill riots. This is more about a bigger issue. So today it's about Capitol Hill and it's about the election and everything. But what would have happened if Twitter decided that they weren't on the side of the Arab Spring and they took down every tweet that was going down in Libya and Egypt when they were having their revolutions, and they sided with the current governments in those countries and said, you know what? No, you guys, like, this is hate speech. This is inciting civil war. This is inciting riots. We're going to take it all down. We're going to, you know, you can't do this. You wouldn't have these giant movements. You know, it's that saying of, you know, one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. Sometimes it's clear what's where right and wrong is, but in those gray areas of where right and wrong get really kind of foggy, and we need to have nuanced and important discussions on these subjects. Do you really want a handful of people being able to stifle that and squash it with just the clicks of a few buttons?
Yeah, it does come down to when we're looking at this, like, whether you agreed with what Parler was doing, what was being said on Parler and stuff like that. In my opinion, sometimes it doesn't matter. Like, opinions don't matter. Should these companies have the power? Should it be legal for them to just do this and effectively kill? And if we think that, like, we talked about Google and we talked about Apple, take them out of Play Store. What we haven't talked about yet is
Amazon.
Following those two things, Amazon has, like, everybody just thinks of Amazon as the people who get you, you know, your sunglasses in 24 hours or whatever else, right? Like, and that's what we really look at is their you know, kind of merchandise side of the house. They are still hands down the most important company on the internet because of Amazon Web Services hosting the vast majority of major companies, Fortune 500 companies, like whatever it happens to be. Amazon Web Services is the hosting platform for the vast majority of the internet.
Yeah, so you think like, okay, well, fuck the apps. I won't go on Parler on my app. I'll just pull out my trusty laptop. Pull out my trusty laptop and make my post. And then next thing you know,
you can still get on. You can't get on an Apple phone without being in the App Store, but you can get on an Android phone because Android's open source. You could sideload apps. There's all kinds of apps that exist that you don't need to go through the Play Store for. So then, yeah, the full, you know, atomic weapon of Amazon. They announced that, hey, they're just gonna end their hosting services for Parler. They did so on January 10th, and they said, hey, because they're violating our terms of service and not focused on public safety, we're gonna end their relationship with us in web servicing. Parler can't find anybody else then to host them, especially in such a quick turnaround, and not to mention probably nobody's going to host them after Amazon drops them. And effectively on January 10th, Parler is now 100% dead.
Which, that kind of, how quick it happened, how effectively they were able to just kill this company, like, it should scare a lot of people. Not because of why they did it, just the fact that they can do that. You know, essentially three people had the power to shut down a company that was thriving because there was a need. There's millions of conservatives that felt like they had no place to voice their dissent and their opinions. So Parler was growing, you know, exponentially, and literally three people could just kill it in a blink of an eye. That is a scary thing.
Yeah. So if you're somebody who's more on the left and you were celebrating this, like, just don't, right? Just think more critically about the implications of this. Again, I wasn't planning on downloading Parler. I have no reason to be a part of that mess of what Parler was, to be hit on the shittier version of Twitter that just had only...
See, I did download Parler because I want to know what they're thinking. I don't... So, and that's what I think is the scary part about banning them, is that I want a place for those people to voice their opinions and hear it, because I want to know how scary it is. I don't want, you know, these kinds of things just creeping up into society and gaining momentum, and then next thing you know, they just burst into the name, you know, main pop culture, and you don't know how it even originated. Like, to me, taking away a place for them to voice their dissent, no matter how hateful and or whatever it may be, all this is going to do is push them to a back corner and essentially radicalize them. They, you know, their fear is that the country and the government and all these people are out to get them. This does not stop that.
Yeah.
Like, this does not get them to take their tinfoil hat off and say, well, maybe I'm not looking at this objectively. Maybe I need to reevaluate how I see the world. This just confirms everything that they've feared and gets them to double down on their rhetoric, on their behavior. And to me, that's the scary part of this. If as long as they had a place to go and spit out all their shit, you're not going to change the way they feel by taking away their voice. You're only going to embolden it. So I just can't understand the thought process behind wanting to do this. Like, it is very scary for the opposite party and the opposite, you know, social kind of views to just be able to shut up their opposition. I mean, we have to have discourse in this country. We have to be able to air out our opinions and understand each side so that we can find a way to get to a place where we can live together and work together. And as long as we are just telling a nice chunk of the country to shut the fuck up and go away, we're not going to get better. We are not going to heal from this.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, this is just a scary thing. I don't want to drone on too long as far as just like the overall just opinions on this. But when you look at like the actual facts, what was able to take place, you know, there is a lot of consolidated power with just a handful of people, handful of companies. And like,
think of it this way. If it was conservatives that hit it rich in big tech, you know, and we were 20 years ago in this same position, would you want those same people to have the same kind of power when we were fighting for equal rights and gay marriage, gays in the military, legalization of marijuana? Like, there are a lot of subjects that conservatives were against. And if they had this kind of power and if they had the means to do it back then, what do you think would have ever happened to those kinds of movements? Like, you can't, when you're on the side that has the power, you really need to look at it and put the other set of shoes on. And if you can't agree with it then you shouldn't agree with it even if you have the power.
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, there's still a lot more to talk about for this week. I think we beat this up pretty good, and there is significant concerns here. And let's, I guess, move on to another just kind of something that ties into things that we've talked about. And here we are, with the Capitol attack on, we talk about facial recognition a lot. We talked about the Clearview AI a lot in the past. We talked about the use of mass surveillance capabilities and that the tech is really there. And this last week with the attack on Capitol Hill and the Capitol building, we're starting to see a lot of arrests and stuff come out. All these wildly crazy individuals like the shirtless barbarian and these people who, were ripping the Nancy Pelosi signs off the wall and celebrating with it. It's like, I don't know what you thought was going to happen with this. I don't know whether you thought this you were going to be able to stay anonymous.
Ideas went out the window that day.
And like, not a COVID mask to exist. Like, why didn't you guys just think that, like, even if you're an anti-masker, why not just wear it for the sake of, like, I get it. Like, you probably couldn't get away with a COVID mask in
that group. Conviction, bro. That's conviction. Like, when you are such an anti-masker that you won't even mask up to rob a place. you're standing on your principles. I respect that, sir. Now go to jail.
So a lot of these individuals are now starting to get arrested. We're hearing about all kinds of these people, especially some of the ones that were like these notable photos, getting arrested. And you think that like a lot of that's coming from, hey, somebody just recognizes them, reports them, or whatever it happens to be. Yes, some of that is happening. Also, Clearview AI has received that company didn't die. It kind of disappeared as a lot of police organizations and stuff said they were no longer going to use them after the negative feedback. But Clearview AI has seen a huge surge following that in requests to be used. They are being used. And several of these individuals that are getting identified through these facial recognition AI-driven systems. And
again, disclaimer.
That's turning it to actual charges.
Don't feel bad for these dudes.
Nope.
Okay. Again, we do not feel bad for these dudes. What we are concerned about is the implications of using this kind of technology to police everybody in the country. That is a more scary thought. Because as of right now, we are using it to catch people that deserve to be caught, deserve to be punished. At what point do we stray from that and we are rounding up just dissidents?
Yeah, right. Like, today, you may be living a life that is perfectly in line with government, but our whole Constitution is based off of not giving government excessive powers to constrain the power of the government. So that way, if the government changes and you're no longer in line with the laws and regulations, like, you have the ability to kind of stand up for this, right? Privacy, that's the point of privacy. You may not need perfect privacy today. You might in the future. Your interests may no longer be in line with the, yeah. the future powers.
Yeah, you might be walking down the street one day and some camera scans you, a van pulls up, throws you inside, and they vaccinate your dumb ass real quick. We are all about limited powers in government, and we need to draw these lines. I understand that it feels good to use these powers to do good, but just like anything, you know, powerful, it can be used on the opposite end and be used for very nefarious reasons. And sometimes the possibility of the bad weighs out the good. And this is quite true in many, many topics that we talk about here.
Yeah. So it really, again, just like the tech banning or whatever else, it's not about, hey, whether you agree with the Capitol rioters. It's just, hey, like, probably just having like a 1-800 number tip line, you were probably going to catch a lot of these people just because somebody was going to report them or whatever else. You didn't need to rely on facial recognition technology, but because it's there, law enforcement is going to pull from it.
Yeah. So if humans want to snitch you out, okay, all good. Let that human snitch you out. The minute we got a mass amount of robot snitches, I don't know. I'm not like that. I don't like that.
So I'm still in support of essentially facial recognition ban of being able to use these services by law enforcement without a, you know, specific, like, well-regulated, I guess, warrant system or something else. But your face and whatever cameras happen to catch you in the world should not just be something that they have easy access to.
All right. Speed round. We got a handful of topics and a little bit of battery life.
A couple soft topics here, so we can maybe just catch our breath. I guess first one up, speed round. Hey, Port of Virginia is scaring some individuals, some local citizens and truck drivers, as the Port of Virginia just got a $2 million grant to prepare their port.
This has made the outline
trucks.
The last 3 weeks. Self-driving trucks, man, they're coming.
Yep, and here we see a big money coming into a major hub, a major port, to prepare them, to set them up to where it's easier for autonomous trucks to navigate directly within the port. So again, if you think that this is far off,
we are
moving the infrastructure towards this very soon.
And then we got Japan taking the initiative on trying to go green, which I really like this idea.
Yeah, so they're looking at killing all gas-powered cars by 2035. No longer gas-powered cars anywhere in Japan. And they're trying to be 100% like no carbon footprint by 2050. We'll see if that happens. But
it's ambitious, but you got to set ambitious goals. Yeah. You know, worst case scenario, you fall a little short and we help the planet by doing it. Like, I'm all for this.
Yeah, for sure. So 2035, maybe no more gas-powered cars in Japan. All right, moving through with a little more speed round here. Let's talk about robots. We've got a man who moves a actual robotic arms with a computer interface this week. And these arms are like obnoxiously large. It looks crazy as far as the images.
He skipped robot leg day.
In the end, yeah, this guy was able to manipulate, picking up balls, moving stuff. Like these are not like simple arms. These are multi-jointed arms, fully fingered.
Neuralink's coming, man.
Arms.
Neuralink's coming. This is going to be great. I cannot wait to see the capabilities of prosthetics in the next 20 years. It's going to be awesome.
So yeah, this continues to move forward.
Touching on another story. Yeah, touching on another story I dropped on you last minute. What was it, last week?
Yeah, last week you talked about like some in the COVID bill, some intergalactic federation talk and stuff like that, and I didn't believe you. And then an article comes out this week that the U.S. intelligence agency has 180 days to share any information they know about UFOs and potential threats to humanity or to society.
I fucking told you, bro. I told you.
In the COVID-19 spending bill.
I told
you. And this is how you know, like, our government is ridiculous. That they just sneak whatever the hell they feel like into anything. Like, why does this have anything to do with sending relief to small businesses and individuals? I don't know. But they're just, but somehow this got snuck into it. So now U.S. intelligence agencies have 180 days to share share information.
You want that about stimmy UFOs. Money? We want aliens.
So, all right. Well, there you go. This is how the government works. And if we find out about aliens, I'm going to say this was the most effective governmental thing that they've done in a while.
Yeah, in the last 20 years, if you ask me.
All right. And then we've got FM radio signal found from Jupiter. Okay, we've heard a lot about these kind of different radio signals coming from space on different cycles and everything else. So maybe this is just another little hint at something out there. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's FM, so like I'm just hoping it isn't the fucking 24-hour Christmas music from some other some other fucking planet.
All right, and then we've got an atomic clock scientist who recommended that we remove a second out of every minute in order to get back onto the actual timing that the Earth is.
I'm not sure if I did the math right on this, but like that means we're off like 8 days a year or something. Like I think I might have been off on that math, but
I'm not even trying to do the math. But it would affect us a pretty good amount.
Yeah, like and I've heard Neil deGrasse Tyson talk about how we're not completely accurate with our time, and as a time travel movie lover, it just goes to prove that time is subjective. Like we can make up whatever watch and clock and calendar we want as long as we all agree that today is Flurbs Day. Today's fucking Flurbs Day. if you get enough people on board, that's how it fucking works. So he's quantifying the actual rotation and the how long it actually takes to do this, and we're a little bit off. So either we're just all 8 days older than we really are, or we just say fuck it and we ride out in the sunset and just live our lives according to what we know.
Yeah. Well, scientists will fix it, I'm going to assume here. So whatever. I'm on board for whatever they decide. And that's it.
It's
got to be it. A week in news here. I got a couple percent left on the battery here.
Yeah.
And I got to sign off before this all
wrap it up.
Doesn't get saved.
Save that shit. So quick, nerdcantina.com/community. Hit us up. Drop the memes. Argue a little bit. Fight me Fridays. Yeah. Patreon page. Buck gets you a sticker.
Get us some more people in the community.
Reviews, ratings. We're out of here.
Yep. We'll talk to you next week, nerds.
See ya.